right, welcome back to the From the Sidelines podcast, or whatever we're calling it now. Are we still calling it From the Sidelines? I know this is probably a discussion we should have had beforehand, but do we have a new title yet?
Yeah, for now. We've got some new websites rolling, if y'all have seen those. It's kind of correlating with all that, so you'll see.
That is true. So we are back. Welcome again to the From the Sidelines podcast. We do have new websites. We have new lots of stuff from a technological standpoint. So, yeah, check out our new websites. The content will be coming fast and furious in the coming weeks, but bear with us as we kind of work out the kinks with our new websites and our new system. But again, we're here, we're back, we're going to talk some basketball today. I know a couple of weeks ago we talked about the girls' side of things in the state. Today we're going to talk more about the boys' side of things. We're going to go through the conferences. I know a lot of us haven't had a chance to see a lot of our teams to this point, but as the season goes, we're gonna talk about it and get into some specifics and just some vagaries as well, as far as who we expect to do well and who we expect to kick some butt. So I don't know who wants to start. Austin, do you want to start? You want me to start? Austin's shaking, nodding his head, so he's in.
Yeah, I'll take PIL first. We can talk the PIL boys. Seen a couple of teams already. I saw Lincoln and Cleveland not playing each other. They did end up playing each other, but I did not see that game. I saw Lincoln play Beaverton, and you know, it kind of helped that Beaverton missed a lot of shots. But this Lincoln team, I believe in the latest poll, they're number two, and for a very good reason. I mean, we knew coming into the year that they were going to have probably the biggest team in the state, and just seeing it in person, it's confirmed. You know, they've got Graham Eikenberry, who's 6'10" at the center position. His backup is Evan Heisler, who's also 6'10", listed at 6'10". I think he's a little shorter than Graham Eikenberry. Eikenberry is a legit 6'10", though. That kid is just gargantuan. But you have those tall kids, but then you've also got the Seeley Roberts twins, who are both excellent players. Maroney, just kind of a do-it-all forward at 6'6". And his brother Malachi is a couple inches taller, 6'8". And he's more of the point guard. It's kind of a weird setup. They did it last year, too. Malachi just kind of runs the offense and kind of stays at the perimeter, even though he's 6'8". But, you know, he is 6'8", so he can get down there and body if he needs to, but he's more of a shooter. The biggest thing with Lincoln is their guards. You know, they've got all new guards that are going to have to step up. But they are seniors that they have. Blake Johnson and I believe Jimmy McCartan were the two starters. You know, they're seniors. They haven't played much varsity, but, you know, they have been around the program a while. So their experience, and it's Lincoln is the favorite, and for a good reason after seeing them take on Beaverton. And like I said, Beaverton, if they make a few shots, that's probably a closer game. But still, I mean, it was a big message. And then I think a couple days later, Lincoln beat Jesuit as well. So Lincoln's going to be around, definitely a team to watch. You know, a lot of these PIL teams, it's going to be interesting. Roosevelt is currently 3-0. They're in a tournament up in Seattle, and they've beaten three Washington teams. Some pretty good ones, I believe. You know, I'm not that familiar, but they beat Camas in round two, and they beat Bellevue in the semifinals to get to the championship of this tournament up in Seattle. So Roosevelt looks pretty good, and that's kind of wild because they lost their best player, Terrence Hill. He was going to be just a junior, but he transferred to that Arizona Prep Compass school that Jefferson saw a couple kids go to a couple years ago. But they've still got Utrilla Morris, who's might be the fastest guard in the state. He's fantastic. And it looks like he was shorter than me, or just as tall as I'm only 5'6". And I was looking him in the eyes last year, but he looks a little taller this year. So hopefully that didn't affect his speed. They've also got Chance White, who's a fantastic shooter. I think he had the best 3-point percentage allegedly in 6A last year. And they've got another bigger body, Baya Kim, who's fantastic. So Roosevelt, another team to watch. You know, you've got Grant, who lost Adrian Mosley and their head coach, but they brought in Dondrell Campbell, who was the coach at Cleveland and turned Cleveland completely around and helped them win their first league title in 60 years. You've got Benson, who's got one of the top prospects, and Kayvon Bradford. They're going to be very good. Jefferson, Pat Strickland is back coaching. You know, a guy that they won multiple state championships under. And Cleveland, too. Cleveland's got a lot of kids back. Jackson Cooper, their big man. They've got SC Tresvant, a speedy guard. They've got Jamal Pinchin, another speedy guard. Sam Glasgow is the new coach there, and he's from Cleveland. He understands kind of the community and everything that goes into it. So, yeah, PIL, I think it's going to be another battle. Again, last year it was kind of a five-team race at one point in the start of February. And I think it could be the same again this year. So a lot of fun coming when the PIL teams start playing. And Lincoln and Cleveland already did play, and I think it was just a five-point game. 69-64, Cleveland won. So it's gonna be wild.
Well, I know I can kind of jump in from here, and I know having Austin talking about the PIL teams, the PIL is a super interesting league, I think, because it's so ebbs and flows. Like, right. And I think one of the things too that's tricky about this time of year is you can look at records, but so much of it is dependent upon who you played, because a lot of these really good teams have played a lot of other really good teams. So sometimes you can look at somebody's record and be like, oh, they're 2-4, or they're, you know, they're 2-2, or they're 1-3, and it really doesn't reflect accurately on maybe how good they are. Or even it can work the other way, where it's like, maybe not, they're not as good as their record suggests, because maybe they haven't played that type of schedule. So like, if you look at the PIL schedule or the standings right now, you've got, you know, 2/3 of the league is only got one or less wins. But how that will translate to the league season, you know, who knows?
Right.
And for me, like looking at the Metro League and the Pacific Conference, two of the leagues that I will be covering this year, you know, full disclosure, I haven't been able to see a ton of these teams. I was out of town last week, and so I haven't got a chance to see as many of these teams as I would like to at this point. But, you know, if you look at the Metro League, there's some intriguing aspects of the Metro League that I think are of note. You know, Beaverton, who Austin just talked about, having played Lincoln, you know, they played a tough schedule at this point as well. They lost that game to Lincoln. They lost a game to Westland yesterday. You know, that's a really good team. That's a team that's probably going to be in the top five, you know, come the end of the year. I think they're ranked 6th right now. Earlier, they started the year ranked 1 or 2, I think. But, you know, they've got a really interesting roster. They had some young guards last year that were sophomores. And then they added to their team Sunset's best player from last year, Jalen Childs. So you put Jalen Childs with, you know, guys like Max Elmgren, who's a lights out shooter, a guy like Aiden Rice, who's also a lights out shooter, you know, Brady Rice, who's a senior, you know, he's a good scorer and a senior leader at this point. And, you know, then they brought some new height in as well. So that's a really interesting team. So I expect Beaverton, you know, to be there at the end. Jesuit, obviously, has always got a good roster, is always going to be there at the end. Mountainside is an interesting team this year because they lost, you know, really four. You could argue, well, they're four team leaders and four of their five best players from last year's team that made it to the state semifinals. But they also returned some key players like Braden Bowe, who was a freshman last year that was a huge contributor to their team. And he's arguably the leader of their team this year. And then I watched them play Tualatin earlier this year and actually get a win at Tualatin. You know, they're going to have some growing pains as they try to figure things out with a lot of the youth on their team. But, you know, they're off to a fairly good start. They have some good wins, and they're going to be a contender in that league, especially probably late. And then there's some teams that are mysteries to me. You know, Southridge is 6-1 right now. If you look at their roster, they don't have a ton of height, but, you know, they're winning games. They have a history of winning some games over there. So I'm really curious to see how they play, and I want to go see them play for that very reason. You know, and then you've got Sunset West Unaloa, which, you know, are probably going to be, you know, down near the bottom of the league, just based on, you know, the tough teams in front of them. But also, you know, the Metro League typically is going to bring some competition. So that'll be really curious to see how that plays out. I expect Beaverton probably to be definitely near and likely at the top of that league by the end of the year. But Jesuit will be there. Mountainside will be scratching and clawing, you know, their way towards the top. And then Southridge, who knows? So that's the kind of the Metro League outlook, at least the way I see it at this point. Pacific Conference wise, honestly, really interesting league. And I say that because anything could happen. You have a bunch of teams that there's no world beater in that league. I'm just going to say that. That's not a knock on it, but it's just kind of where they are this year. You know, last year they had a lot of young teams. Sherwood was kind of the cream of the crop. But a lot of those young teams last year remain young, but are experienced. So, you know, you got Liberty's, a team like Liberty, it's 3-1 to start the year. A team like Forest Grove, which lost some key pieces from last year, but also is, you know, in the second year of Mark Roach's tenure there, who came from Banks, who had a lot of success. And he'd be the first to tell you that last year was a difficult year for them because, you know, the summer, you know, prior to last season was still compromised by a lot of COVID restrictions. So they didn't really get a chance to kind of get their system working the way in which he wanted to and have some experience in the system prior to the year. This year they got that. So I know he's kind of excited to see how the guys manage his system a little better this year. And they're 3-3 to start the year. Century has got a lot of young kids. They were really young last year and they returned a lot of those guys, but they're still young. You know, and you're seeing that in their early results. You know, they're 1-5 to start the year, and they've had some pretty difficult losses, some pretty good beatdowns, to be honest. But, you know, from a they're warming up a little bit, it looks like. And, you know, they've got, again, young guys that that are kind of leading that team. So that league in general, Sherwood is again, the team to watch. That's the team that you're going to see, you know, probably at the top of the league. I think McMinnville also brings some good stuff to the table. Glencoe is actually, despite losing a pretty key piece in the offseason, you know, they're a team that's off to a 4-2 start. And, you know, and they're probably not going to be considered a world beater by any means. But I think Kevin Bloodsaw does a really good job with them over there. I think he's in his third year. I lose track now with all the COVID stuff that went on a couple of years ago. But, you know, I like him as a coach. He gets those guys playing hard. And even though sometimes they may not have the most talent, they're going to play, I think above their talent level at times. So they're a tough out no matter who they're playing. So honestly, I think that league, the Pacific Conference in general, is just going to be a really interesting league when they get into league play, because I think everybody in there, I think, can beat anybody on a given day. And I know from a sports reporter's perspective, that's exciting because it gives, you know, you get a lot of good games to watch. So, you know, there's not a lot of games that you're going to say, oh, this team's going to blow this team out, or, you know, this is a walkover game. I mean, any game on any night could be a good game. So I think from a competitive standpoint, the Pacific Conference is probably going to be one of the more competitive leagues top to bottom, but it's also probably not one of the most talented leagues in the state either. Andy, you want to get some Three Rivers League action in, or do you want to start somewhere else?
Oh, I'm going to start. Well, I'm just going to keep going down. I'm going to go into our fourth league here in the list, in the Mount Hood Conference. So I only have, you know, two teams that are specifically in my coverage zone in the Mount Hood Conference, but one of them is Clackamas, who is sitting on top of the league right now as the only undefeated squad left in the league. Clackamas, led by Garrett Strube, also a heck of a baseball player from what I can gather. But yeah, they've gotten wins over North Medford, LaSalle Prep, Newburgh, Forest Grove, and South Eugene so far. You know, just coming out looking good. I think Clackamas boys basketball, especially right now with what the girls program is doing over there, might kind of get a little overshadowed because that girls team is just so good. But these boys are doing a really good job so far. They're actually in the middle of a tournament right now in Lake Ridge. They're in the semifinals, and they're going to be playing LaSalle Prep again. So if they can score another win over them, they would advance to the finals there and could get a nice little holiday tournament win under their belt going into the new year, which would be pretty nice. The other team in the Mount Hood Conference that I cover is Nelson. CJ Boren looks to be the star to watch on that team, but the Hawks haven't really hit a stride yet this year. Through their first five games, they actually have exactly the same amount of points for and against, but they are 1-4. So that hasn't quite gone the way that they would like. They did get a huge win over Caldera, but they've got losses to Jesuit, Benson, Oregon City, and Southridge. So, I mean, those are not bad losses, but, you know, that's just kind of a preponderance of them at this point. Other teams in the league that have caught my eyes so far, Gresham is one that sticks out quite a bit. Isaiah Pippa-White is super, super good. I had my first chance to see him live when I was covering a Lake Oswego Gresham game on Tuesday last week. He and Winters Grady from Lake Oswego, they just went at it. I think Grady ended up with 41. Pippa White had 35 in that game. Gresham also has a guy, RJ Alexander, who knocked down 8 3-pointers in that game. It was just, you know, they've got size, they've got speed, they've got shooters. Gresham's a really good team. You know, sorry to Clackamas and Nelson, who I haven't seen in person yet. I can speak a little bit more in detail on this Gresham team, but they're really good. I know that they are 4-2 right now. One of those losses was like a 99-93 barn burner against John Paul II from Texas in the Capital City Classic. So, you know, pretty good out-of-state team there. And, you know, Gresham just got into a, you know, huge high-scoring battle with them. I mean, to score 93 points in a loss is pretty frustrating, I'm sure. And they also have a loss to Oregon City earlier in the season. So, yeah, I mean, those are kind of my notes there. I know that Jalen Atkins, let me double check that I've got the name right there, because it's, yes, Jalen Atkins is the star for Barlow. And they've got a pretty good team out there, too, that's sitting at 4-1 right now. That only loss on the season for them came against Beaverton. So, you know, it's not a terrible loss to take either. So, looking at some teams there, you know, you've also got David Douglas and Sandy, who have been off to a good start. I don't know too much about those teams. I don't know how long they'll be able to stretch those out for, but it looks like I might have somebody who has something to say here. So, Austin, you want to jump in and let me know a little bit more about some of these teams in the Mount Hood?
Yes, sir. Mount Hood, I mean, a lot like the PIL, I think it's pretty deep this year. Because David Douglas, you know, we talked about early season wins, losses, you know, kind of depends on who you're playing. But David Douglas has some pretty solid wins. They beat Tigard. They've got a lot of guys back. Chad Reeves, too. I mean, it always helps to have a coach who's been around a long time. And this is his 19th year as a head coach at David Douglas. But he's got a David Alderton, who's a 3-year varsity player, and he's got a Carlins Austin, Austin spelled Ostin, so we'll have to chat with him about why he spells his name wrong. But he's also very good. He's got good range, and he's a good defender, according to Coach Reeves. But they've got these siblings, Lincoln and Drew, Satterthwaite. I think I did close enough for that. Good players there. And he's got another kid, D'Amico Nobles, who transferred from Central Catholic. David Douglas, they've got some players, and you know, Central Catholic I can speak to as well. You know, Coach David Blue, you know, he's solid coach. It's obviously Central Catholic. They've got some good talent. They've got Isaac Carr, who's just a sophomore, 6'4" guard, who was a great shooter. Saw him last year. Gray Thompson, another 6'7" forward, who's got some skills inside. They've got some good wins too. You know, they're 3-2, but let's see some of those wins. One of them is Jesuit. I know they beat South Medford, who was a Final Eight team last year, and then they beat out of state Washington team. So yeah, Central Catholic, David Douglas, I think could definitely make a run for this title too, along with Gresham, along with, you know, Clackamas. You know, there's a lot of good teams in this Mount Hood this year.
So yeah,
Barlow.
And I was looking at that David Douglas roster, trying to figure, you know, who, I don't know the names necessarily, but the thing that stuck out was that only one of the kids on that roster is under 6 foot. You know, that's just, you know, I know in the 6A level, you know, being over 6 foot, it's not quite the same as having a roster like that at 4A or 3A, but just to kind of have that consistent size and not to have a drop off when you go to the bench and lose, you know, a lot of height. I don't know that a ton of teams are, you know, going to be able to compete with that in terms of having no drop off in height, you know.
Right. So Lincoln might have the tallest in number of like biggest numbers, but if you take an average, David Douglas might have something to say about that with all those kids.
Yeah.
Should be noted that Gresham's win over John Paul II was preceded by a loss. Gresham's loss to John Paul II was preceded by a win over John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt.
oh my God.
John, what is that? I had to look that up. John Paul II. That's a top 10 oddest name for a high school that I've come across.
It is a
they're from Texas. I get it. But
yeah,
interesting. Good for them. Good for them. Tough loss to John Paul II. Wonder how John Paul I rates in the rankings in Texas. Or three, even four. I mean, I don't know where it stops. Maybe five.
I'm not sure where we're at.
Maybe six, maybe seven.
All right.
You want to go to Three Rivers League now?
I'm going to go to Three Rivers League now. Yeah. I'll start with my teams.
I can toss some Tualatin Tiger stuff in for them as well.
Yeah, I'm gonna shoot back to you after I go through the Lake Oswego, Westland, Oregon City contingent here. So so far, I mean, Westland is the team that I think, you know, they're gonna be the headliners this year, kind of throughout the season. I think they're gonna be the team with the target on their back that I think everybody will be chasing down. Starts with Jackson Shellstad, obviously, you know, four-star commit to Oregon. Just really great player. I'm really looking forward to seeing him live for the first time. I haven't been able to catch them yet. They've been on the road exclusively so far. But I am looking forward to seeing this team in person. From what I've seen in the videos, you know, and just kind of watching his tape, though, Shellstad just plays with such a fluidity, just an ease, a comfort to the, like, nothing. He doesn't seem like he's putting in much effort and just kind of gliding around and making all these plays, making incredible passes. I think he had 33 points and 12 assists in the opening game at the Capital City Classic. He was averaging over 30 points a game, had 21 last night in the win over Beaverton. So I'm haven't done the math to see where that brings his average down to, but like that was his worst game of the season, you know, statistically. So, and he's still got 21 points and a win over one of the best teams in the country or in the state. So yeah, this West Lytton team, but obviously not just Shellstad. So, you know, they've got Adrian Mosley, PIL player of the year last year, who transferred in from Grant. You know, obviously that's a huge, huge talent to bring into an already talented team. Mark Hamper, who was an all-league guy last year, he's back. I think he's still kind of working through some shoulder stuff that he took on during the football season. I know after the state championship game, I was talking to him and he had his, you know, everything was all bundled up in a sling for Mark. I think he's playing now, though. It should be out there more prominently as the season goes on. But another guy who's come up is, wouldn't you know it, Sam Levitt. Just can't stop talking about this kid. So, you know, he's obviously in the news for his football stuff. Sam flipped his commitment to Michigan State last week. So he will not be going to Washington State as originally planned. And while Michigan State, well known as a basketball school, now Sam Levitt, he's trying to become known as a basketball player, maybe? I don't know. But he had a, I think, 20 points in the win last night, and he's been a solid contributor, scoring, you know, 9, 10, 12, you know, points per game. He's just been a you know, a solid third or fourth option for that Westland team that didn't necessarily need more elite athletes showing up to be great options, but hey, I don't think they're going to turn it down either. So, you know, this, the rich getting richer, so to speak, out there in Westland. So, yeah, they're going to be the teams to beat. Everybody's going to be kind of chasing after them. Lake Oswego, I think they're going to be a team that has a lot of, I mean, they came in with a top 10 ranking in the preseason. They've got one of the top players in the state in Winners Grady, who I talked about, I mentioned earlier. That guy is an incredible scorer, by the way. Just goes up and takes his shots, and he just has an incredible feel for when to get to his spot and just to pull the trigger, you know, and just kind of unconscious. But he's not taking bad shots either, which is impressive, because especially for a younger player with like a huge hype around him, you can see, you know, maybe somebody trying to force the issue, do too much, that kind of thing. He tries to do a lot and he does it. You know, that's kind of the impressive thing about Winners Grady. So I saw him set a career high with 41 points against Gresham. Then he went out to the Iolani Classic in Hawaii. And then the first game, he matched that 41 points again against Baldwin to set a tournament record out there. And then they lost to Newman Goretti in the second round. That's a pretty good team out of Philadelphia. And he had, 31 points and 9 rebounds and a loss. So, like, even as good as Winners Grady is, and that was the other thing. I don't know that I mentioned that about in the Gresham Lake Oswego game. Yeah, Winners Grady had 41 points. Lake Oswego lost by 23, though. So, they're going to have huge, huge, huge individual performances from Winners Grady all year long. Can they get the entire team working together to get those wins? That's going to be Marshall Cho's big, project this year, I guess, is getting this team, because I believe he told me they graduated 10 players or, just lost 10 players from last year's team. So this is a pretty new squad, especially new in how much time they're being given on the floor and with the ball in their hands. So, they're 2-3 right now, but some of those losses are not all that bad, right? Talked about Gresham is a very good team. Newman Goretti, a top team country, nationwide out of Philadelphia there. And a one point loss to South Medford. These aren't the worst things in the world, especially for a young team that's still kind of learning to play together. But I think maybe some pumping of the brakes is happening on whether this is a top 10 team. Definitely have a top 3 player maybe in the state, but I don't know that this team can quite match up to that yet. Lake Ridge has been on to a pretty good start, and they've got a new face in the fold with Tristan Davis. He was the big transfer from Wilsonville who helped out on the football team as well, and he'll be going to Arizona to play football. Before that, though, he is helping out this Lake Ridge boys basketball team as one of the captains. Big 6'7 guy. Led the team in scoring in their win over McDaniel yesterday in the Lake Ridge tournament. They'll take on Southridge in the semifinals of that tournament they're hosting. And if they get a win there, they will face either Clackamas or LaSalle Prep. So they've also had pretty good performances coming in from David Getty and Cade Gestahl. I hope I'm saying that right. There's a little bit of a strange spelling with a GJ at the start of that name. So, Cade, if I got that wrong, I apologize. But, Lake Ridge out to a 5-2 start so far. We'll see if they can keep this up when league play gets going. But pretty encouraging start for the Pacers so far, which, I think I had a tendency to fall into being a bit of an afterthought here. So we'll see if, the addition of a guy like Tristan Davis can really be a major game changer here. And then Oregon City is off to a nice little start. 4-2 record doesn't necessarily jump off the page, but some of these wins we've mentioned, they beat Gresham. They beat a West Salem team that is currently in the semifinals of the Capital City Classic. They scored a couple big wins over Nelson and Century as well, which are less notable. Oregon City is solid. They've got Dion Best is their top player. He's a 5'11 guard who can really just kind of take over the game. They've also got, Noah Neal, a 6'6 senior who's sort of popped out a little bit this year. He's starting to break out. Gillen Payne, Gillen with a G, not Dylan with a D. He's a sophomore who's having a little bit of a breakout right now. He can score the ball pretty well. Dylan Westermeyer, another solid guy on this team, another 6'6 guy on this team. Oregon City actually has 5 guys standing 6'5 or taller. So that is some pretty effective height for Oregon City out there. So, I think West Lynn will still be the headliner of this group. At least, we'll see if Wade has anything to say about that with the Tualatin or Tiger contingent. But there's some interesting teams behind them here in the Three Rivers League. So Wade, what do you got on your side of the river?
Well, I think, Tualatin might take a little umbrage in you kicking them to the curb in place of West Lynn, or by West Lynn. You know, it's Walton's defending state champions. They lost a lot, no question about it, but they also kept a lot. They've got a new coach this year. Todd Jukola stepped down after their state championship win last season, and they're being coached by Brandon Lemon, who was an assistant on the team last year, who's also a Tualatin alum. And they've got a lot of interesting pieces. I think this Tualatin team is going to get real interesting as the season goes on, because while you know, they lost a lot of guys, the guys they returned played a lot last year. So these were also key pieces. So to get a guy like Josiah Lake, who was arguably maybe their best player in that state championship run over the last couple of games for sure. He's a 6'2 guard who can do just about everything. He can get in the paint. He can shoot from the outside. He plays good defense. So, you know, he's a real player on that team and was in that run last year, like I mentioned. They also return guys like Jaden Stepp, who's a junior, 6'8 post, but can play on the wing as well. He's a versatile guy. I think if you're talking about him, I think you have to bring up the fact that in some ways his biggest problem is he gets into foul trouble. You know, last year that was a big problem for him. When I saw him earlier this year, it wasn't as much of one, but you know, he's aware that he's playing a bigger role in this on this team this year, and he needs to make sure that he's out there. And I know when I watched them lose to Mountainside in a 2-point game to start the year, you know, he was fairly disappointed in how he played in that game, I think, despite leading the team with maybe 19 points, if I try to remember back. But, you know, he got a little quick with things early in the game. He had some turnovers, you know, things that he feels like he can clean up. And by doing so, he's going to help his team a lot. So a guy like Jaden Stepp, a guy like Josiah Lake, also guys who played last year, guys like Jack Wagner off the bench. You know, kind of he was the quarterback for Tualatin during the football season. He's going to Idaho, I believe, to play football. You know, great contributor off the bench. Richie Anderson, another football player who's, you know, 6'4". He's going to Colorado State to play football. Another great guy contributing to that team. A.J. Noland has got a much bigger role this year, you know, and had a lot of success on the football field as well, as did Jaden Fortier, you know, a guy who's a junior, 6'5". A guy who's very athletic. He's got the size, brings a lot to the table. Those are guys like Fortier, a guy like Noland, guy like Anderson. These are guys who didn't play as much last year and are going to have bigger roles this year. But also guys who have played, guys who've had success in other sports. It's interesting. Also, Richie Anderson, I believe, is going to I've been told, actually, he's now going to Fresno State to play football, not Colorado State. Mistake. Regardless, these guys have a lot of experience. They have a lot of they have a winning mentality, having had success on the football field, and they've got a lot of talent. You know, like I said, Stepp and Lake are two of the you know better players in the state. Even a guy like Ryan Schleicher, who played a little last year coming off the bench for Tualatin, and who was really good when he did. I mean, he's got a bigger role this year. So, you know, how these guys can kind of step up into bigger roles, I think, will dictate just how far they can go. But I think from a talent standpoint, this team can hang with, I think, just about anybody in the state. And if they get better and progress as the season goes on, learn to kind of how to play together like last teams did so well, I think they can be a real factor as we start getting into the league play, and then obviously the state playoff action later in the year. Flipping over to Tigard. You know, they're 5-1 to start the year, and I think if you're talking Tigard, for the most part, you're going to talk about I butcher this guy's name every time. I believe he pronounces it Calum Brown, and his brother Malik. You know, those guys are great players. I mean, Calum Brown is I watched him score 40 against Tualatin last year, who won a state championship at Tualatin. He scored 40. You know, so these guys can really light it up. You know, then they've got guys like Brady Jordan. They've got a sophomore, Seth Johnson, who's 6'7", who brings some height to the table. They've got five guys, 6'3" or taller. So, you know, that gives you a lot of length, gives you size, and that kind of stuff can cause teams problems, especially defensively. So Tigard's going to be an interesting team going forward. And again, like I say, they're 5-1 with just a loss to David Douglas, who Austin brought up earlier. He was a solid team. So, you know, that's another team that can, you know, add something to the mix when it comes to the Three Rivers League, which is always good, regardless of sport. So you've got West Lynn, who, yeah, on paper is likely the cream of the crop. But I wouldn't be surprised to see a lot of competitive games in that league and some teams that give West Lynn a run.
Plus, Tigard has a kid named Sawyer Wolf. That's awesome.
Sawyer Wolf?
Yeah, he's a wolf and he doesn't play for Tualatin. Sounds
oh,
fishy.
Oh, no. What is going
on? I don't know. Do they have a Tiger Campbell over there on Tualatin?
Does that mean he's a wolf in Tiger's clothing?
Oh, my God.
We should probably move on to the Northwest Oregon Conference.
maybe he's a Trojan horse sent over by Tualatin to there blow the team out from within.
Or sent over by Kennedy.
Yeah.
Tanner looks to not be enjoying this joke. So, Tanner, we haven't heard you. You want to talk about Canby? It seems like they're kind of off to a rough start, but.
Yeah, the Canby boys team is off to a rough start. Their girls team, which we might get into that later, they're doing much better. But the boys are kind of struggling. They're just trying to find, like, a sense of identity. They graduated so much experience last year. And they have a new head coach. It's just sort of like starting from square one. They only have one kid on the roster, Connor Gensman, who has any sort of like varsity minutes. So they're just kind of trying to figure out, you know, who they are and how they want to play and like how they want to play together, kind of fine tuning a lot of stuff. I thought maybe they were going to be a little better from jump once they, you know, smoked Malala in their season opener. Put up 90 on them, and then they've just had a tough time finding the winning side since then. They've lost to Central, Hood River Valley, Modesto Christian out of California, Gresham, South Salem. They have just had a real rough go of it. So I'll be interested to see how they fare once they get into league play, because I think there are some winnable games in there. Some teams that they can kind of right ship on, but preseason has been real rough on them. So not a ton to report. I think they're just trying to, you know, work out the wrinkles and kind of get to know each other on the court. Cause there's also just, there's like, I don't know. They want to play fast, but it's just not a good look right now. And I have no doubt that they'll get it together. Their new coach, Matt Taylor, coached this senior class when they were eighth graders. He's been an eighth grade coach for a while before that. I think he coached at Gladstone, you know, maybe a decade or more ago. So they have an experienced coach. They've got a lot of experienced assistant coaches there as well. I think they're gonna be okay. They'll even things out. But right now it's just sort of rough. That's my NWOC team. I know Andy and Wade have other NWOC teams that they could probably talk about.
I have little to offer from an NWOC perspective other than, I mean, Hillsborough, and only because Hillsborough is gonna struggle. They're 0-4, I think, to start the year. They have a loss to St. Helens. They have a new coach this year. It's been a handful of years since Hillsborough's had any success on the boys' side of things, and they have a brand new coach this year. They return a bunch of kids, again, that haven't had a lot of success. So, you know, they're going to try to – I think they're basically starting from square one over there for the most part, trying to begin to build something. But it's, you know, it's likely going to be a lot of learning this year and probably not a lot of winning.
Yeah. Well, of the teams that are doing some winning right now, there are four teams in the NWOC that are 500 or better right now, and all four of them are in my coverage zone. So I'll talk a little bit about these squads. Starts off with Wilsonville. They're 5-1 right now. They are in the midst of the Capital City Classic. They just lost in overtime last night to West Salem. But, you know, gave a pretty good run there. Before they did that, though, in the game prior, Wilsonville won, and that was head coach Chris Roche's 500th win with the Wildcats. So that was pretty cool. You know, and the team that Wilsonville has, you know, 501 is coming soon. Let's say that, and probably a lot more after that this season. This is a good team. They've got Maxim Wu is the starting point guard. He's an all-state guy returning from last year. You know, that's a huge piece to have just kind of guiding the team. To be able to bring back a guy like that is, it's just massive. So, you know, that's kind of where things start for Wilsonville here. Callan Guttridge, the quarterback of the team that of the football team that just went to the state championship, he's been showing out pretty nicely on the basketball floor here as well. I think he had 21 points in the Capital City Classic opening win. Either way, it was a lot of them, and he hit the shot that sent it to overtime last night. He's just a, you know, he's a good player. He's 6'4". He's got good size. Not a post really. But he's a wing, he can shoot, you know, and he, like I said, he's got kind of the good size. He's built nicely too, to really compete, at a high level, I think, in the 5A classification. Another guy coming on is junior Kyle Counts, 6'7" guy. Let's see, I know he had a really good game last night. I believe it was 17 points that he had. So, you know, again, they didn't get the win over West Salem, but that's a, you know, that's a 6A team that they're hanging right there with, in the middle of this tournament in Salem, I should mention. So, yeah, I mean, Wilsonville looking good so far to start things off. They won their own tournament that they hosted at the start of the season as well. You know, teams like Baker and Woodburn, so not necessarily who they might need to beat to win a national or to win a state title this year. But, you know, pretty solid wins anyway. That Woodburn team, I suppose, is going to factor into it more than Baker would, since Baker's a 4A school. Looking past Wilsonville, we've also got Milwaukee here. Milwaukee's sitting at 3-3 right now. They've got, you know, head coach Donnie Law and his and then Logan Law is the star of the team. So, you know, we've got these two kind of riding out Logan's senior year here. I believe I saw that Logan just passed 1,000 points in his Mustang scoring career. So congrats to him, a very decorated cross-country runner for the Mustangs as well. Running things out on the floor for them. Caden Harris has been another good player for Milwaukee in the opening games. I haven't gotten a chance to see them live yet, but hopefully I will after they get back from their holiday tournament in San Diego. They're going down to a Torrey Pines Holiday Classic down there. LaSalle Prep, I have seen them. So LaSalle Prep and Putnam, I watched them play the other night in the NWOC opener. LaSalle Prep beat Putnam. That was Putnam's first loss. It was LaSalle Prep's first win. But those two teams look pretty evenly matched. Putnam wanted to slow things down quite a bit when they played. A lot of, you know, passing around the key, whipping it around, looking for their spots. LaSalle Prep did a really good job defending against that and denying entry into the lane. And then as soon as they'd force a turnover or get a rebound off of kind of a tough shot, they were just breaking it open with an outlet pass. And, you know, Nick Robertson, he's the returning league MVP. He looks like a real player. Just another one of those guys, you know, around 6'3", but kind of gets everywhere on the floor, can score inside, can hit the three. Passes the ball well, rebounds well, just an all-around good player. You can see why he was the player of the league in player of the year in the league last year. Finbar O'Brien and Grant Ellison are two other guys who can score down low in the post for LaSalle. So they're going to be a good team to watch here. Putnam has some solid players too. Let's see. We had Lennon Greenleaf led the team in scoring when I saw them, but I know Chase McDonald, another junior, has also led the team in scoring a few times, and he's gone over 20 in a few games. You throw those guys together, and it's a pretty solid team that they've gotten Putnam. You know, like I said, they've only got one loss on the year right now, so we'll see. You know, it's always strange when you catch teams on one day and you kind of see them and you maybe form an opinion or whatever. You know, I saw Putnam lose it's the only time they've lost so far this season, though. So I don't want to take too many, wrong inferences home from that game. But one thing, it does look like they might need to come up with some more innovative offense to kind of, if the whipping it around and trying to, play kind of slow and deliberate isn't working, can they adjust on the fly? Against LaSalle, it didn't really work. And it kind of, it was a problem that kept getting exposed throughout the game. So I'll be interested to see kind of how Greg Griffin's team deals with that going through the rest of the season. But that's kind of my early thoughts on my teams in the Unlock.
We want to get into some, Tanner, do you want to get into some small or lower classification stuff? I can talk briefly about Banks, who I've not seen yet this year, and who, last year their team revolved really around Cooper Goble, who's gone. And they've got, I think, 9 of their 11 kids on their varsity roster are seniors. It can be somewhat misleading because I think in a lot of ways, some of those guys really haven't played. Despite being seniors, they didn't get a lot of action prior to this year. So how that's going to play out will be interesting, but it's already working fairly well. I mean, they're 4-1. The only loss is the top, the 3A classification number one, who's Westside Christian, who has become a bit of a year in and year out, I hesitate to say powerhouse, but it's the truth. They've been one of the top teams in their classification now for a handful of years, and so for them to lose to them is nothing to really shake a stick at. And they only lost by 10, so by no means were they blown out by the team that's at least at this point considered to be one of, if not the best team in the 3A. And aside from that, they've pretty much rolled everybody they played. They beat the Dallas by 16. They beat Tillamook by a million. They beat Valley Catholic by 17. They beat Amity by 30-some. So, they're a team that I suspect will be at least a top 10 and probably a top 5 team. And I think you can say that somewhat comfortably in the 3A. But where they go and how much better they get, yet to be determined. Some of their guy, Ben Mayo, is one of their returning players, who probably one of their leading scorers. I think I watched him score 30 last year in a game. Wyatt Selleck is another guy at the guard position who will be somebody to deal with for them. Their biggest problem is really probably not a lot of height. They've got their post players are all, really like 6'2 or smaller. So, they don't have a 6'6 kid in the middle. They don't have somebody who's going to be going in there and be able to get rebounds somewhat easily. They're going to have to do it as a collective, which, as a coach, you kind of love that because it builds more of a team aspect. But that's an interesting team that I really can't add much more on just because I haven't seen them. And I'm curious to do so. And really more curious as to see how they're going to shake out in that league, dropping into 3A in that coastal range league. It's a new league for me as well. So how they're going to compete and how far they can go, I think is really up in the air, but I think they have a lot of upside that could take them places.
Yeah.
And I can briefly discard my 2A, no offense to the Gaston teams, but their boys team has yet to win a game, and they'll much like Hillsboro, they're building. So from a 2A perspective, get to work, Gaston. Better things in your future.
Yeah. I'll just hit 3 of my teams real quick. At 5A, we got Woodburn in the Mid-Willamette. They're a solid team. They have a couple of transfers from West Salem in Liam Slatum and Brody Hawley. Slatum, 6'8", kind of, maybe not like the thickest 6'8 you're going to see, but he anchors their defense in the paint really well. And when I saw them play at Silverton, they, limited the damage inside and made Silverton look for look for either mid-range or longer shots, mostly on the strength of Slatum's defense. So I think they're going to be one to watch in the Mid-Willamette Conference. They're 3-2 on the year. One of their losses is to Wilsonville, which I was talking to Coach Raul Valiz after one of the games, and he was like, yeah, they just out-physicaled us that night, and it kind of taught us a lesson that, like, if we want to be one of those teams that makes it to the tournament, we're gonna have to like be just as physical as that, if not more so. And I think they took that lesson to heart. They've also got like a bunch of skill on that team. They got shooters like junior shooting guard Spencer Carsaboom and sophomore guard. Point guard Cruz Veliz, Coach Veliz's son, skilled, scrappy on defense. They got long defenders like Tony and Isai Carrasquillo. They're pretty deep as far as like 5A teams go. Maybe not the tallest team, but they're gonna force you to work night in and night out. The only other loss was a 1-point. A 1-point loss to Sandy. So I think they're going to be pretty good. Keep an eye out for them. Down at 4A, you got North Marion, who are really good. Like, just look really, really good. They're ranked number 4 in the state. They're 5-0. They're averaging 73 points a game. They are led by sophomore guard Cole Hammock. He was a starting varsity guy for their team last year. The interesting thing, and I haven't been to see this team in person, but they're putting up points, and then I think all of their wins except for a road win over Marist Catholic have come by double digits. So they're blowing fools out of the water and just looking on paper really, really good. What's interesting to me about this particular team is once you get into league play, that Oregon West Conference is nasty. They've got 6 teams in there. 4 teams, including North Marion, are ranked inside the top 10. And Philomath and Staten are also unbeaten. So right now they're looking really good, but there's no easy route to a conference title in the Oregon West. So That's a team I'm excited to see in person soon, hopefully. We'll see if I can get out there. And then down at 2A, we have Kennedy at 4-1, looking real nice so far, led by the scoring of Brett Bowen. He is a senior post. He's 6'4". He's a big kid. Played on their football team. They got to the state championship this year. They got the Kleinschmidts, Ethan and Brody. They're looking really good too. I think, you know, they're in another tough conference where it's going to be them. It's going to be like Western Christian and Salem Academy that are all vying for that top spot. I think last year Kennedy ended up third in league, but they return a lot of important pieces, and you know, I think they're going to be right up there in terms of hosting a first round playoff appearance. So, you know, only time will tell. And like, this is all contingent on teams being healthy and whatnot, but on paper, Kennedy is looking really good as well. Yeah. So those are the 3 teams I wanted to hit. Everyone else is working hard, doing their best. And we'll talk more about them in the future, I'm sure.
I just wanted to jump in with a couple thoughts real quick on the Tri-Valley Conference in 4A, because I know we've got a few schools there, and I've got a unique little perspective from having spent time on the other half of the state covering the Tri-Valley Conference last year. So Gladstone right now appears to be the kind of leader in the clubhouse for the Tri-Valley Conference, but just kind of scoping things out, it does look like this league is going to produce the lowest seeded league champion for the playoffs this year. They, you know, the other teams in 4A or the other leagues in 4A all seem to have one team that is kind of rising above the rest, or, you know, a couple teams that are doing so. Like, you got Seaside in the Coapa League, Philomath and North Marion in the Oregon West, Junction City, Phoenix, Baker, you know, a bunch of teams that are really standing out as ones that could potentially, you know, win their league. Gladstone appears to be that team in the Tri-Valley Conference, but it may not be as huge a gap between them and the rest of the league here. Gladstone's Cohen Daves and Carver Melama are two of the players returning who had all league honors last year. They've also got a pair of 6'5 guys in the post, a junior and a sophomore in Ryder Ramsey and Ethan Robles. So we'll see, you know, if that type of size in a place like the Tri-Valley Conference can do a lot of things for you if it's effective size. Now, I haven't seen this team live yet, so it'd be interesting to see, you know, what the skill level of these players are at this point, but the height is certainly encouraging. And, you know, we'll see if Gladstone can kind of live up to the billing. They came into the preseason, I believe, ranked number 9 in 4A. And they were the only Tri-Valley Conference team that was ranked. So, you know, there's an implication there that this is their league to lose potentially. So we'll see if they can kind of keep that up. Estacada and Corey James, who I think we mentioned a few times during football season as the quarterback of Estacada's team. He is kind of the quarterback of the basketball team as well. Point guard coming out there, and he brings that same fiery, competitive, bordering on cocky attitude to the basketball floor too. So, you know, it helped out on the football side. It's pretty effective on the basketball side too. The other thing for Estacada, they've got big 6'7", long-haired, bearded Cody White, who is just kind of a monster. Just a big, big, thick guy, shot put, you know, guy at state. This is a the kind of big body, again, that you don't really see a lot of in the Tri-Valley Conference. I remember watching Estacada play Madras last year, and they just couldn't really do much with Cody White. And I don't really see anyone in the league being able to do a whole lot to stop a big, powerful guy like that. It's whether all the pieces around him can hit the shots and play enough good defense to kind of keep Estacada going. Madras and Crook County, I think, are going to be sort of in the middle, maybe leaning towards the back of this this league. We'll see. Madras has a good guy, good point guard in Seneca Ball, but some of the other pieces just kind of weren't really there, and they graduated some of their shooters from last year's team. So it's kind of keeping an eye on them. They're 3-2 right now, though, so a decent start. Crook County and the Dalles are the new teams in the Tri-Valley Conference this year. Neither off to a great start. Crook County's 2-4. The Dalles are 0-3. And Malala is 1-3 right now. So it does look like Gladstone and Estacada, maybe Madras, are sort of starting to separate a little bit. But again, it's so early. It's hard to really tell too much from these first weeks. But it sort of appears like, I don't know, maybe this will be Gladstone's league to lose. So I just wanted to talk about the Tri-Valley Conference just a little bit there. And one small, tiny shout out to the Portland Waldorf School, which has returned to action after over 1,000 days on the shelf due to not having seasons the last 2 years. They hadn't played a game since 2019, I believe that is. 2020, February of 2020. Gosh, now I don't know if my math is right. Anyway, they're back now. It was over 1,000 days. I'm not a math guy. I'm a writer. They come back. They got 2 wins on the season so far. So just quick shout out to their 3 seniors, Leo Renzema, Ezra Cohen, and Roman Cole, who were freshmen on the team the last time Portland Waldorf played. They are back. They are playing again. And congratulations to those guys. So just wanted to shout out the Wolfpack a little bit there, but I don't have too much more to say about the 1A level.
Yeah, you know, for me, the small schools, it's kind of interesting in Portland on the boys' side. There is quite a bit of depth when you get into some of the smaller schools in the city here. Really, it starts with De La Salle North Catholic in 3A in the Lewis and Clark League. You know, this is a program that's established itself. You know, it's not one that rebuilds, it's one that retools. And that's what we're going to see this year. You know, they did lose quite a few kids graduation. They had 3 transfer. TJ Latu and Quincy Aranda both went to Jefferson. Ja'Ala Van went to Lincoln. So all three of them going up to bigger schools, I would imagine, to try to, you know, maybe potentially get some more eyes in recruitment, which, you know, I don't think James Brodus, the coach, would have anything against. You know, he's coached a lot of great players over his time there in De La Salle North Catholic. But they've got great kids back. Jalen Hill, Israel Hill Jr., both two good players to watch. Preston Thomas, another one. And really this, excuse me, the Lewis and Clark League might be the most fun at 3A. You've got Westside Christian, as Wade said earlier. It's kind of become a powerhouse, good every year. Oregon Episcopal is very good. They're 6-1 this year. Catlin Gable, another team that's usually pretty good at quite a few sports, and they're 5-2 this year. So those four combined make that Lewis and Clark League at 3A a lot of fun to watch. And quickly in 3A, Riverdale is off to a 6-1 start, which can't say much about Riverdale because last year I believe they only won 6 games. So quite the turnaround so far for Riverdale. We'll see if I can make it out to a game, see them this year. Going down to 2A, though, probably the team I was the most excited about when it comes to small schools this year is Manor House Academy in Portland. Their coach, Ryan Bjornsgaard, you know, this is kind of a first really for his school. You know, they haven't seen this much success really in kind of any sports over the years, at least under the Manor House name. I believe this was a school that used to be City Christian. I could be getting that wrong. But anyway, they've got some good players. Bjornsgaard's son is on the team, Jaden. Ty Johnson is back. Those are the two big ones to see for there. They're 6-0. They're number one in the OSAA ranking so far. I know they're top five, I believe, in the polls, coaches' polls as well. So they're going to be a lot of fun to watch. Even getting down to 1A, Columbia Christian is another program that's kind of set a high bar for itself in the lower classifications here on the boys' side. You know, I know Andy knows this, Ben Gregg getting some minutes for Gonzaga up there. People see him more as a Clackamas kid, but he did start his high school prep career at Columbia Christian and won a state title with him. So they've got the kids that can come to Columbia Christian. They're 4-4 this year, 1-1 start in league. And that one league loss was to Open Door Christian Academy, which is out in Troutdale. And they, you know, back in the fall, their volleyball team became the first athletic program at all in the school to ever win a playoff game. So that's exciting. And this boys team, they were good last year. Unfortunately, they just kind of lost it at their league tournament at the end of the year and missed the state tournament after a fantastic season. So 5-2 overall to start. That taste is very, very bad for them, I'm sure, and they're looking to get rid of that. So yeah, a lot of boys talent here up in Multnomah County across the board.
Well, unless anybody else has anything to add, there's a bit of a boys basketball preview for you as we start to get into the heart of the season and the holiday season. Next week we'll have, for those interested, some big holiday basketball tournaments on the girls and boys side at the Les Schwab Invitational at Liberty, which has some of the best teams in the country playing, along with some of our best teams locally here as well. And I always forget the name of the tournament. What is the name of the tournament?
Holiday the girls Classic.
The Holiday Classic, which is being played downtown Portland, which all the best girls basketball teams in the state will be playing in. So if you like good basketball, check out what's happening over at Les Schwab, and then check out what's going on downtown with the Holiday Classic, because that in particular, I think that girls event is top notch. If you want to see the best girls basketball in this state and some of the best basketball being played really around the country on the girls side of things, with Barlow, Beaverton, Clackamas, I mean, there's a South Medford, I mean, a bunch of teams, and everybody good playing. So a lot of good basketball next week.
Real quick, I mean, that girls tournament too, a couple of the out of state teams, doing some research on that. But what is it? La Jolla might be La Jolla. Not sure if California's
La Jolla.
La Jolla. There you go. La Jolla Country Day. They've got the top senior, I believe, in the country as far as recruiting. Then they have Sierra Canyon, who I've seen top five nationally ranked team, and they've got some good girls. So the holiday class, both of these tournaments, you're going to want to see it.
Yeah, if you're a high school basketball junkie, and you've got the week off next week, there's a lot for you to do, a lot for you to see. So check some of that out. Unless somebody else has anything else to offer, that's it for this week's podcast. And next week we will report probably on what we saw, I suspect, this coming week in high school hoops. Actually, I guess we won't, because we'll be just be cracking. We'll be on the seal of that, right? When we do this next week, maybe we do it a little later next week to maybe catch some games. We'll see. Either way, there's another episode of From the Sidelines. And if you haven't, if you know anybody else who's interested in some high school sports, send them our way. Because hopefully we'll just continue to get better at this and be more entertaining and give you more information. That's it. 3, 2, 1.